I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for a brand new episode of Collider Ladies Night. Today, we are highlighting In the Heights, more specifically, star Leslie Grace. Hello, how are you doing? And congratulations, because how is this your first feature?
You are so kind. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you so much. I am incredibly excited that this is my first feature. I couldn't be more blessed to be a part of this film.
I mean it sincerely. You are incredible. So the first thing we do here on Collider Ladies Night, because I am greedy and there's never enough time for these interviews, is we have this dice tower back here. So I come up with 8 questions, but I only roll the die 3 times. So I'm only letting myself ask you those 3 questions, at least to start.
Here we go. I love this.
It's a 4. We're calling this one Comfort Watch. What is the movie that you can watch over and over, something that'll brighten your day no matter what?
Ooh. Lately, it's been Soul. I've watched Soul so many times since it's come out. And I know it's new, but it's like my new favorite.
That is an excellent choice. 100% understand that. All right. Roll number 2. Oh, it's on the floor, but I see it. It's a 7.
Yes, it's my favorite number.
This is a fun one. 4-legged friends. Do you have any pets?
I do have pets. I wish I had a 4-legged furry friend, but I don't, not yet. That's my dream. I'm a big dog lady, but I have two four-legged friends. They're turtles and their names are Tick and Talk. And I'm looking at them right now in their tank.
tell Tick and Talk, Hamilton the turtle, which is actually
Hamilton
bring up right now. We got him during lockdown because one of the movies to bring this whole household together was the Disney Plus release of Hamilton, which has made us excited for In the Heights.
Oh my God, yes. See, this we're in sync right here. We're in sync. We should get our turtles together and have a turtle play date.
Hamilton would be so mad at me if I dug him out of that right now. You might get a cat appearance at one point in this video.
I love it. I love it. This room.
We got one more roll here.
I absolutely love it.
It is a 1.
Okay.
We're calling this one Last Step.
Okay.
What's the very last thing you like to do before you hit the set to film a scene?
Ooh, I pray. Actually, I pray. I just do a really quick prayer, like, Lord, use me in whatever way you can to exude what is necessary for the scene. I do the same thing when I sing, and I just try to like absorb whatever is necessary for the moment to do what I'm there to do.
I was going to go to the beginning of your acting experience now, but just to follow up on that, is there anything about your techniques when it comes to singing that has carried over and maybe surprised you that it carried over to acting in film?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was telling someone the other day that, like, you know, once you get it, I went into doing this movie, like, really, like, obviously feeling like imposter syndrome, like, I've never done this before. I hope that I don't make a stupid mistake while everyone is watching. But everyone was so generous and you know, told me so many stories of first times, and it just really made me feel welcome. And it allowed me to learn how many similarities there are between singing and acting. And one of them is being able to feel the pace of a moment, like knowing what the moment requires, if it requires a soft touch or if it requires, you know, more of a pressing in to a moment. And so that's definitely like that feeling of what's happening in a scene, or the feeling of what's happening in the other character's world, and being a generous actor is the same as like being in a duet, being a generous, you know, feature artist, or being, you know, a generous performer, and knowing how to interpret a moment, knowing how to interpret a feeling. It's the same, you know, it's the same space. It's, you know, knowing what's necessary for the performance of a certain emotion. So yeah, I've definitely used that in some sense to my advantage. And I got to, you know, use a lot of my singing experience in this beautiful film, because it's a musical.
And that is a big reason this film is lucky to have you, amongst many, many others. Going back to the very beginning of your acting career, I guess, do you remember when the itch to act first kind of crept in? Did it come from, you know, watching a favorite movie, a personal experience, you name it?
I really loved the idea of acting when I was a kid. Like I was a Disney kid. Like I loved watching Disney movies and Disney shows and Lizzie McGuire and Even Stevens and all those shows, right? Sister, all those shows. And I always like, I have a sister that would say, you're a Disney child, like you're my Disney child, or, you know, cause I would just be glued and like wanted to see myself, you know, someone that looked like me on screen. And I knew from a very young age that I enjoyed performing. It developed first through music and through dance. And then I really enjoyed, like, just again, like capturing a feeling and being able to exude it and make people feel something from that. So I remember going to this little like acting class, this improv class actually, at this place called Tannen's Talent in New York. And I think it was in Yonkers that my mom put me in with my older sister, Anexi, and my sister killed it. She was amazing at improv. She was older, she's 12 years older than me. And I was like maybe 7 or 8 at the time. And I sucked at improv. I was like, I would freeze up. I was like, you know, any test environment, I would just like forget everything that was going on and like not know what to say. And I'm still kind of like that. But that made me a little bit intimidated about, you know, like acting on its own until I got to high school. And then I started doing American Musical Theater in high school. And that's when I was really like, oh, like you can, you know, like perform and sing and act and dance, you know, all in one space. And that's when I really like opened myself up to the possibility of me pursuing acting.
You brought up your sister, and I was watching another interview where you mentioned your cousin and having done your first read with your cousin. So is it safe to say that your family is kind of very involved in your craft and what you do, and maybe helps in a number of respects?
Absolutely. They're so, so supportive. That sister that I'm speaking of, Anexi, she's, you know, she was also super duper talented and, you know, sang and did a bunch of stuff just so incredibly well. And she put a lot of, she was a person that I would bounce back and forth on sharing that passion with, and her, you know, same vice versa. And so I was very blessed to grow up in a family that, you know, wasn't in the business per se, but was very cognizant of like the importance of letting a kid's, you know, dreams flourish and letting a kid discover like what they like and what their passions are and what their purpose is in the world, so that they can be the best at it, their best at it, and not become mediocre at something that they don't, you know, really love and aren't passionate about. So definitely my family across the board has always been super supportive. My cousin that I was talking about, he wasn't really an actor, but he would do his best to, like, you know, when I didn't have readers, he'd be like, all right, he's from Philly, he's from Pennsylvania. He'd be like, what are we going to read today? What you need me to read today? And he'd do his best.
So he helped you read for other auditions, not just in the Heights. So I guess, what was it like? Because I'm assuming that first feature here, you auditioned for other things and maybe it didn't quite pan out. So what is the key then to putting yourself out there, it not panning out, but you staying focused and ultimately getting this one?
Yeah, I knew that it would take time, you know, like I also grew up in a family that worked for everything, you know, and worked really hard. So I knew the value of persisting at something. And like, if you really, really want something, you're not going to quit. You're going to see it through because that's what you're meant to do. And so I never let like, you know, I've always had like the perspective of like, if you don't get something, it's not for you. And you're learning something from the experience of preparing for this thing that you didn't get or that didn't pan out. And that was my experience. Like a lot of people don't know, I even though this is my first thing on screen, I had been auditioning for years. And I know that there are a lot of people that, you know, audition for all their life and don't get the blessing of doing a project like this. So I'm forever grateful. But there is always a process behind where you get your experience from. And for me, it was all of those auditions. And it was even the first audition that I had in front of John 2 years prior to stepping into the room again and reading for him, way more mature and having, you know, read for a lot of other things and auditioned and like successfully like gotten callbacks and stuff where I felt like, okay, I'm on to something by that point. So that process definitely wasn't, you know, it wasn't always smooth sailing and it wasn't always like validated, but I just, you know, had to teach myself and, you know, have people to bounce off of to see my old self tapes and say, okay, I can fix this here. I can do this better. I can do this better. You know, what can I adjust until the right opportunity came along, the right one came along.
With that in mind, what is the best piece of advice you got throughout all those auditions that maybe made all the difference?
Well, my dad has this quote that he says, I mean, it's not really a quote, it's just like a fact. So he says, there's always room to improve everything that you do. And, you know, it's very reflective of like our, you know, our family dynamic. And it's also seen in our film where, you know, in Latinx communities and just in a lot of families, like there's no room to be complacent. There's just like push forward. Okay, you got that. Okay, next. Okay, you got that. Okay, next. Okay, you got that. Okay, next. There's always more. There's always more. And I, you know, in some cases, a lot of people feel like Nina, and I have felt like Nina, where you feel the burden of like, okay, keep going. But when you look at it, you see the beauty of your family and the people that love you and believe in you saying you have more. It's limitless. You're limitless, you know? And my mom cleared that up for me the other day. She goes, I always say that you guys are capable of more, not to make you feel like, you know, you're not doing any good. You're doing amazing, but I know you have even more to give. And so that view always made me like push for more, you know, propelled me to like be there the extra day, be even while I was shooting, you know, be there on days that I wasn't needed because I knew that I didn't know enough. So I was just like, I want to learn. I want to soak it all up. And yeah, there's a beauty to that.
I love talking about learning behind the scenes details, and we're going to get to that. But first, your family sounds incredible. And now I'm obsessed with them. One more question about the audition process, because I know sometimes when you audition for something, you might not necessarily know for sure which part they're looking at you for. And even if you audition for one part with certainty, you might wind up with another. So I was just curious, was there any uncertainty in that department on this film, or did you always know it would be Nina?
So I definitely felt most like identified with Nina and was going for Nina, and I had read originally for Nina. And then I remember that second time, a year and a half later, that second time around, once I read in front of John again and Lynn Kiara, they had asked that I learn the part of Vanessa, and the same for Mel. She was there for Nina or Vanessa. And we read that last audition in front of Lynn. We read and chemistry read both parts on that day. And we switched around a bunch of times for a little bit, for a couple hours. And so I was just like, I was ready. I just wanted to be a part of this thing. But it turned out that all of us really ended up playing the people that we really knew and that we really truly like didn't really have to act, you know, like I really identify myself with Nina and her, the struggles of her being a first generation, you know, Latin Americana that's like trying to push forward, but also feels like fragmented in her identity a little bit. And I know that Mel feels really, really reflected in the role of Vanessa, feeling like, you know, I got to make it out to get to my dream, and, you know, falling back in love with her hometown and, you know, finding the beauty of like everything that she is because of where she came from. And so, you never know what you're going to get, but I always think like, you know, the stuff that's for you is gonna pan out the right way for you. And so you don't have to worry about it. I try not to, you know, think about it too much.
I love that mentality. Tapping into some of your music here, because to be honest, that's not my sphere. I know movies and TV, so I was learning a lot about your work. And I noticed you had worked with Becky G.
Yes.
And you happened to be talking to a very big Power Rangers fan. So it yes. made me want to ask, did she give you any advice when jumping into your own film? Her power coin, yes. I don't know what screen side I'm pointing to right now, but behind yes. me is the power coin from
I see the you. Movie she was in. Yes. I see you. I see a couple things up there. I'm like, okay, we see you.
There's some fun stuff back there.
Amazing. But yeah, Becky's a good friend. She's more than anything, she was just so happy for me. Like, you know, she had her own experience with her film with Power Rangers. And I was so proud of her because, again, another, just like Anthony Ramos, you know, like another just multi-hyphenate artist, which is, you know, all of those things are so hard to balance, and also so hard sometimes to prove to people that you're able to do multiple things and be successful at multiple things at a time. And so to get her support and to get, you know, anytime really early on, you know, anytime I would post about the film or anything like that, she'd just be like, I'm so proud of you, girl. Like, I can't wait to see this. I'm like so excited for you. So there's a mutual like respect and love there. And she totally gets it.
I love hearing that. And even though I know it's not going to happen, I'm going to keep blabbing about how much I want another Power Rangers movie with her in it and that ensemble. That's another story though. In the Heights, I really want to know about your experience working with John as an actor's director, because the note giving process can be a challenge just in terms of, you know, how you receive constructive criticism, but also just understanding how to apply it and change what you're doing when you've been doing something a very specific way. So what was it like working with him on that type of stuff?
Oh, incredible. I mean, there wasn't even a notion or a feeling of like, oh, I didn't like that note or like any of those type of things. Like, even you mentioning it now, it's just like, I can't even think of like anything like that, because John was just such a generous director. And he was very much like all those roles, like director and choreographer and actor. And like, you know, all these positions really almost faded, because we all just felt like we were this community that was like telling the story and we were making this thing together. And so even Lynn, like, you know, he gave us all the liberty to figure it out, you know, to figure out the story the way that he painted it, him and Kiara painted it so perfectly in the way that they wrote it. And then we, you know, John, Lynn and Kiara, rewrote and crafted it for a film adaptation. But we were also in the room with them a lot of times in those director writing meetings and actor meetings, where they would talk through the scenes with us to make sure, like, does this feel right? Like, you know, and it was collaborative in that sense. Like, there was in every space, there was a conversation, you know, about, okay, does this feel like this has a pulse, like it's a living thing? Or does this feel like you wouldn't say this, Nina wouldn't say this? So we discovered it together, you know? And I think that's what's so beautiful. And I've come to understand from the rest of my castmates that it doesn't always happen that way. And I know it doesn't always happen that way, because in music, it doesn't always happen that way. And it's a much smaller circumstance when you're shooting with a music director or a music video director or something like that. But even then you would think it, and it's not always as collaborative. So I'm very grateful to John that he, you know, more than anything is like a coach and like is also an enabler of like you finding your power as an actor or an actress.
with how you just explained the process in mind, is there an example of, you know, anything from a whole scene to a little line of dialogue that needed that kind of collaboration or massaging that we can now see see something in the final film that highlights you all coming together and changing something for the better?
Definitely. I'd say for me, there were multiple moments where John would step in and say something absolutely pivotal and essential to what happened in the scene. I'll tell you two though, that involved like one that was just me and one that was everybody else. In the dinner scene, which was a very hard scene for all of us, but for me, you know, where Nina's going back and forth with her dad, she has to express what she's gone through at Stanford and that she was searched. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable moment for her because she's basically been hiding the reason why she doesn't want to go back. And this is her moment to like share like, hey, this is what's really freaking going on when I go to Stanford. This is how I get treated. This is what people that look like us get treated like, even though you guys think I'm just a genius and fit right in. And it takes time sometimes to get to the vulnerable place where, you know, where you're not pushing the emotion, but you're also, you know, allowing everybody else to feel it and giving it the importance that something like that feels like. And so John, I remember John coming in to the very small space that we were all burning up in that apartment. He came in to the dinner table and he was like, you know, he whispered something in my ear. I won't say particularly what it was, but he just gave me an as if, like, you know, say this as if it was this. And it changed my entire approach to the scene. And to the point where I could barely verbalize the lines, but it was exactly what Nina needed to feel and needed to express in that dinner scene. And in turn, like the rest of my castmates that I was looking at, Stephanie, Daphne, Melissa, they were all like, especially Stephanie, were so generous in their acting. I'm sure he like gave them a little note, like just give her everything. That's very reflective of how we held each other up. The second one is on the last day of us shooting, it was the last bit of Breathe, and they all planned it out like for me to end on the fire escape, singing just me and the GW, just me and the GWB, asking Jeannie, you know, what do you be? Another moment where Nita is like, just barely can say what she's singing. It was everybody below, you know, all of our cast and crew, including Anthony, Melissa, and Corey, who were supposed to be, they were done shooting already. They were supposed to be gone. I thought that they already left, and they surprised me and showed up on set. And we had this beautiful moment of like, wow, we completed this movie. But as I was saying that, I was looking out at them, all the people that we made this movie with, and that was all John and Joe Reedy, our AD, who like planned out perfectly the sequence of how these scenes would be completed. And so John, for sure, he's just a sensitive human being that like took every single thing into account and made it possible for those, everything to play into what those scenes were on screen.
Man, you're making my heart feel like it's gonna burst right now. Yes. I love hearing about, you know, good vibes and supportive companies on set. I'm gonna give you a near impossible question to answer right now. Okay. If you had to name an unsung hero of the crew of In the Heights, who would it be? You know, because we know the cast, we know John, but is there someone in a position where you didn't even understand what that position was and what they could do to the vibe on set that made all the difference for you?
I would say Joe Reedy for sure. He's our AD, which is a very important job, but more than anything, he set the tone. You know, he made sure that, I don't think ADs get a lot of love, you know, like, because they're making sure that the show goes on when a lot of stuff is happening. But he, Oh man, he made me burst out in tears. There's a video of me somewhere like on that same night, like just hugging him and just saying thank you a billion times. Cause we had like an internal joke that every time he wanted people to leave set, he was such a teddy bear. He had like a very assertive voice, but instead of saying, hey, you're done, or like, you know, like it's time to move on, he would say, thank you. And I remember there was the first time he said it to me, I didn't leave set. I was like, thank you. Like, I was just like chilling on set still. It was time for me to take a break. It was like me and I think Olga, Abuela Claudia, in that kitchen place where she's with the napkins and says her famous line of asserting our dignity. And we were doing that again and again. It was really hot and she had stuff on her face, so we couldn't stay there for long. And he just kept saying thank you to us, like they were moving stuff around and just kept standing there, and he was just like, thank you girls, thank you. And I was like, thank you Joe, like I'm just like living it up on set. And he's like, no, you can go now. I said, oh, so you're kicking me out. Oh, okay, got it. So forever after that, we would just say thank you to each other. And on the last day, I gave him my last, you know, thank you. And I just was sobbing on him. Just such a great guy. If you talk to anybody else from the cast, they will ask him about Joe Reedy and they'll give you all the Joe Reedy slogans. Amazing man.
I can't believe I'm already getting the 5 minutes and I haven't even brought up the fire escape scene.
I'm sorry.
It is absolutely incredible. All right, so we usually wind down ladies' night with three different things, but first, very quickly, what is something about what it took to pull off that sequence that made you go, oh my god, even when I read it in the script, I didn't realize that I have to do that to make this happen?
Listen, girl, oh my gosh, it was, we didn't know for like half of shooting how that was going to come together. We just kept seeing this like vision that John kept showing us, like, yeah, and then you guys are going to dance on the side of the building. Yeah, and then you guys are going to dance on the side of the building. And we just kept being like, okay, but like, and he's like, no, there's going to be a wall. Like, don't worry, they're building it. They're going to build it. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money, but we're going to make it happen. And you guys are going to dance on the side of the building off the fire escape. I was like, how though? Like, how? No harnesses, all choreo done by us. They, you know, we learned all the choreo in the last week, like the week leading up to shooting it, because the wall was only finished right in time for us to learn just in 1 week what we needed to shoot on the day. And so we had to, you know, rehearse some things, but you know, until you get onto the side of the building, onto the fire escape, you really don't know what you're working with and what's going to be needed. Everything on that side of the building was crafted for us to like create those Fred Astaire and Ginger like moments, you know, when I'm sliding on the side, when Corey jumps up and, you know, pops off of the fire escape, and all those things when we slide down as we do our kiss, you know, there was something there which you don't see, but I'm giving away a little bit of the movie magic, but there were so many things that were happening technically in order to make that moment happen. And also I can't even imagine cinematically, like, you know, what all the crew was doing to make sure there was a huge crane. It's like, you know, 360 green screen action. Shout out to all the effects team. So when I got to see it, I was just blown away, because I thought that I would still be feeling like, oh, all of the technical things we did to accomplish this illusion. But when I saw it, I like forgot everything. Like, I was fully transported, and you know, I keep saying it, but like, it was the truth. Like I was like, how is this possible? You're seeing the plane flying and you're seeing the people crossing the street. And it was just incredible.
I've never seen anything like it. Everything that went into that was just so well worth it. Okay. So we're going to wind down here with a little game. We're going to do some cast superlatives.
Yeah.
Superlative, and tell me who best suits this description.
Okay, I like this.
Most likely to break out into song when not filming.
Oh, probably me. No, Corey.
When he breaks out into song, what is he saying?
Yes. Oh, all of them. He'd be like, yeah, yeah. He'd be doing the 96,000, or he'll do the check one, two, three. This is Benny on the dispatch. Yo. We all break out into song though. Anthony does it. I do it. Mel does it. It's hard to do it with, not to do it with this music. I still do it every day.
So. Very much understand that.
Yes.
Who is the most likely to surprise you while you're filming a scene?
Oh, Anthony, for sure. Definitely. They've all done it, but Anthony is the one that will show up on set, like, you know, unannounced and just be like, yo, what's good? What are we doing for lunch? You know?
How about who is the most changed cast member? Like, who changed the most from day one of filming to rep?
Okay. Ooh. That's a good question. I mean, we all are changed. We all, like, were transformed by this film. We can't say that none of us were. I'd say Gregory, maybe. Like, he's grown. I'd say from the film to now, he's grown up, like, fully grown up. Like, he's, like, a few feet taller, for sure. Yeah, I think Gregory, but all of us, really.
I'm gonna give you a real random one to wrap up this game. Who is the most likely to survive a zombie apocalypse?
Corey. Yes, my boy, Corey. If I find us, well, he's still lost somewhere. I don't know where he's at in Walking Dead, but he probably has got the skills and the wig for it too, that fabulous wig that he would wear on the show.
Oh, man. I could talk to you for forever. This
yes,
was so,
so great.
Delightful. Thank you so Thank much you. For your time today. And to let all of our viewers know, you can catch In the Heights in theaters and on HBO Max on June 11th. It's incredible. Leslie, you're incredible in it. Congratulations again. And thanks for joining us for
Thank
Ladies
you.
Night.
Thank you so much, Barry. This was amazing.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.